And isn't here today. He's doing communion. I already told you that. But Pastor Shane has been preaching, if you've been coming, on the battle of our soul and our life. The battle is always going on in the spiritual realm and in the flesh realm. Did you know that? That there's a battle going on for your life right now in the heavenlies? Yes, there is. Did you know there really is an enemy? His name, I'll give you his name. He's Lucifer, Satan, the devil. There's lots of words. But today, I'm just going to use the enemy, okay? The enemy. Because the enemy, anything that stands against the Lord is the enemy. Amen? Amen. Okay, and I am not a preacher. I'm a teacher. So I try and keep my voice loud and quiet and keep you awake. I might even throw something in there that I don't remember. I don't know. We'll see how this works, okay? I try to rely on God, and I'm super nervous. So, yeah. So we're in Philippians 1:6. And Philippians 1:6 actually is Pastor Shane, one of his favorite scriptures, and he's been sharing that with you a lot as well. And what I feel today is that God laid on my heart to teach us two things that's going to make us stronger in the Lord, and God's going to start moving. We're so close to this wall. Can't you feel it? That we're going to the next level. I'm excited. You should be too. Amen? Okay, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have heard that so many times. I'm sure you have too. In fact, it's on our wall in our house. And it reminds us of what the Lord is doing. This verse is really saying this. Listen, if you have notes, I would take notes because there's a lot here. And I guarantee you, if you write it down, put it in your mind and use it, God's going to do some miracles and miraculous things in your life as well as in mine. Amen? This verse is really saying that becoming like Christ takes a lifetime. That's what it's saying. I've heard people say, well, I can't come to church until I'm perfect. If you come to church and you're perfect, well, we'll just unperfect you, I'm sure. And I have to wear my little glasses here. Sorry for all that. This verse is really saying that becoming like Christ takes a lifetime. And he also has been teaching us to take sin seriously. That's what Pastor Shane's been talking about. Listen to this. Take sin seriously or you will fall in it. Really. My kids have tested us through the years. My daughter especially. Thank God she's in church. I pray hard for this kid. But she would, sin just means missing the mark, right? And you know the bullseye that the guys shoot at? Maybe the girls too. I know Tabitha does. Shoot at this bullseye, okay? The bullseye, the little, and then the circles. And then there's this white paper that outlines it. Probably not part of the bullseye, but I'm glad they put it on there because that's the part I always hit. But in the spiritual realm, missing the mark means missing the mark, the bullseye, okay? But my kids feel like, well, missing the fringe, the little outer white part, I'm still in, right, Mom? But, you know, why live there? Why live on the fringe? Why live on the outside? Missing the mark. That's what sin is, okay? Stay with me. So, this verse is really saying becoming like Christ takes a lifetime. And he's also, Pastor Shane said, that we should take sin seriously or we will fall in it. Take our victories and our Christian walk with the Lord seriously. Seriously, are you? Or are you just going through a daily thing? In John 16:33, this is what Jesus said. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. Is that not what's going on right now in the world? Gosh, I don't understand. If you don't have Christ in you, you're not having peace. You're having tribulation. That's what the word says. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's him. He's overcome the world. This might have been written a long time ago, but it's still today. God, through Jesus Christ, has overcome the world, and I'm going to show you how he did. And I'm going to teach you today that we have a spiritual position. You, each one of you who confess to be a believer of Jesus Christ, and you've asked him in your heart, you have a position in the spiritual realm. Are you using it? Are you walking in it? Or do you even know you had a spiritual position? Well, today is your day. I'm excited. It said there that to overcome the world, and the only way that we are going to overcome is through Jesus. And what I'm saying is our hope is only real in Jesus. He's our hope. When our loved ones pass, he's our hope. When our kids are just don't know where they're at, he's our hope. When we feel like, ugh, giving up, he's our hope. Our hope is only real in Jesus. Pastor Shane is challenging us to rise up to a higher level and begin to walk in the authority God has given us through his son, Jesus. And all these songs, every single one of these songs today is singing about that, about the authority, about the position, about who we are in Christ, about what Jesus did for us. And his reckless love. Do you know what the word reckless means? Have you ever been behind someone who's reckless? It's all over the place. His love is there. It's not little bit. It's not like, oh, I'm not going to love you unless. No, it's reckless love. It's just there. We're just supposed to take it. But we make it so complicated. Even I do. I don't know. So begin to walk in the authority that God has given us through his son, Jesus. Stop wasting time and get ready to be what he wants us to do and go out and reach our city. That's my heart's desire, and I know that's Pastor Shane's. And his whole other desire is to see the Shekinah glory drop in this place. There was years ago, we took a youth group, and we went to Portland, and we were in this huge church on the 205, and the police and the fire department showed up during our worship time. They said, your building's on fire. And we said, well, no. No building on fire. They literally could see a glow. And that was so awesome that night. I can't explain it, but it was awesome. I want that here. I want the fire department to show up here and go, whoa, what's going on, you know? Yesterday we did a yard sale, and we did it an estate sale Friday. But I was there yesterday, Saturday. And there was so many people who come to it, I don't even know them, who had heard about us. Because, you know, someone comes on the property, it's our mandate to share the Lord with them somehow, right? So that's what we were doing. Mike, Pastor Shane, Lindsay, all of us. Anyone that was there, we were doing ministry as well. And it was totally amazing to me how many people knew about us, but they didn't know our building. They heard about us, but they couldn't find us. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe we need to do a little better on our... Yeah, but word of mouth, God is using us. God is moving, and that excited me. And I want to reach our city, and we can do so much more. So today God wants to use us. He wants to put us, teach us about where our position and the authority the Lord has given us in order for us to go forward, okay? Some of you that know your authority and power, just bear with me, okay? Be praying in the Spirit that everybody gets this. First, we must understand there is a dwelling place. Maybe you're thinking, what is that? A position in the Spirit that we hold as believers in Jesus. And with this position comes authority. And this authority is what the enemy is trying to steal from each one of us. It is. Do you realize that? He's just not trying to stumble you and make you feel miserable. He's trying to take away your authority. Because if he can take away your authority, then you're no good to the kingdom or to the body of Christ or even to harvest. You're just like walking dead. I do not like those movies, but the kids do. It's like, okay. And I don't want to be like that. Do you? No. So first we must understand there is a dwelling place, a position in the Spirit that we hold as believers in Jesus. And with this position comes authority. And that is what the enemy is after. If the enemy can get us to yield our God-given authority, he will take it and use it against you. That's his job. I told the kids, get ready. When the devil comes against you, punch him in the face. You know why? Because he has to come against you again. So punch him in the face again. And after a while, he's going to, oh man, here I go again. I'm going to get punched in the face. Yeah, that's his job. His job is to steal and destroy. And he's going around like a woof, lion. Woof, has no teeth. He's pretending to be a lion. He doesn't have any authority. And you're going to learn that today too. So if the enemy can get us to yield our God-given authority, he will take it and he'll use it against us. This will not only affect us or you, but it will affect everyone in your generation and their generation. The choices that we make today affect everything. And I'll show you how and why they do. This will not only affect us, but also those entrusted to our care. Our choices and what we do and even what we say today will affect others as well as ourselves. And I'll show you why. Hold on. So let's look at a couple scriptures about the dwelling places. In Psalms 91:1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We sing about that, but that's one of the places. That's a position. It's a place. Psalms 18:19, "He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." And then Psalms 26:12, "My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord." Believers literally occupy a place in the Spirit. Are you a believer? Then you occupy a place in the Spirit. Is your space vacant at the moment? Just a question. It's important as believers that we know not only that place, but also functioning in it. If you don't know your position, you can't function properly in the body of Christ. This authority and position can be lost or it can be stolen. You can lose it or stolen. I'll show you some scriptures. You ready? Acts 1:20. Let's look at Judas. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." Do you see that? Do y'all know who Judas was? Who did he give up? Jesus. But yet Jesus chose him. And Jesus knows everything. God, he's omnipresent. He knows everything, right? He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. But yet, right here it says, "For it is written in the book, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." So not only did he lose his position, but someone took his place. Amen? Another scripture, Acts 1:16 through 17. "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. By transgressions, Judas gave up his position." By transgressing against God, Jesus. What does the word transgression mean? I looked it up. Glad you asked. I'll tell you. It's a Hebrew word. It's either pronounced pisha or pesha, depending upon if you're in the South or in England or wherever you are. I'm going to pronounce it as pisha. P-E-S-H-A, pisha. It refers to ways that people violate the trust of others, like betrayal of a relationship, to break a law or violate a breach of command, sinning as an act of rebellion, the act of passing over or beyond any law or rule, to breach a command. That's a lot, transgressions, huh? That's what that word means. And also iniquity, sin, they're all there. It's transgression. What does transgression? And this is just a little bit. There's so much about transgression. And that's what Judas did. He transgressed against the law and he betrayed his master. Right? Right. So this is the primary way that the enemy knocks us and people out of their spiritual authority through transgressions, through all of that right there. Amen? It's also how the devil caused Adam and Eve to fall, displacing them and gaining lordship over them and all that they ruled over. See, that's another one. Judas. And now Adam and Eve. Let's look at Adam and Eve. Okay? In Genesis 1:26, Adam and Eve held the highest position of authority on earth. Every living creature, all of nature. And God said in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's pretty much all of nature, right? Nothing on earth in the spiritual or natural realms was above the authority of mankind but God. Only God was above mankind. Mankind, at that time with Adam and Eve, everything under, they mandated all of that. Okay? Stay with me. When Adam held his position, there was no fighting. There was no sickness, no famine, no earthquakes, no poverty, none of it. Animals were calm. There was no fear between man and animal, nothing. As Adam walked in fellowship with God and ruled by God's delegated authority and power, did you catch that? God gave Adam and delegated that authority to them. But with the sin of Adam came the demise of everything underneath his authority. So not only did Adam, when he ate of the fruit, or not only the lady, whatever, there's this, Adam did it, Eve did it, whatever. It doesn't matter. It happened, right? It happened. And so with that, Adam came the demise of everything under his authority. And by transgression, again, he yielded his place in the spirit to the enemy of God. He yielded it. He gave it. It wasn't stolen. He gave it. The devil even boasts. Here's another one in Luke 4:6. The devil even boasts and he brags of testimony as he's tempting Jesus when he took him into the desert and up on the mountain. And he's touting him. If you'll just join me, I'll give you blah, blah, blah. And in Luke 4:6 it says, and the devil said to him, Jesus, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me. And I give it to whomever I wish. Those words will taunt him because that's how the cross came. We're going to get there. Hold on. Okay, are you with me? Are you totally confused? Everyone understand that so far? Good. Try and be real easy here. God had entrusted authority to Adam, and Adam in turn forfeited it to the devil. And Adam lost more than just his position. This is what happened. All that God had placed under his care was affected. A gradual decline of all harmony and order took place. Animals began to fear the man, and the man began to fear the animals. And as time went on, diseases became active, famine, earthquakes, all affected transgressions. All of it. Even Adam's firstborn learned hatred, and he even transgressed into murder. Cain and Abel. Heard that story? Yeah. Before that, there was nothing. It was just peaceful and forevermore. That's going to happen one day. That is going to come back one day. Our Lord and Savior. That's a promise. Are you going to be there? That's a promise. I am. The devil had taken the authority that God had given Adam for protection and provision, and he turned it against him. And not only that, but he turned it against all of creation, and everything started to decline and to destruction and death. Now hear this. Good stuff. Hear it. I didn't underline it, but that's okay. It says a man, Adam, right? He forfeited his position of authority, right? Are we men and women? It says the Bible is the same yesterday, today, forever. It's the same. So today, this is us, okay? A man forfeited his position of authority, therefore only a man could restore it. So God was looking for a man. Something to think about. Thousands of years later, now we're coming forward, thousands of years later, a child was born. His mother was a daughter of God's covenant people. Okay? His father, the Holy Spirit of God. Are you coming with me? He was not part man, nor was he part God. The Bible says that he was Emmanuel. 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 And do we know what Emmanuel means? Matthew 1:23, God revealed in a man, behold, a virgin shall be with child. God. And bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I spell it with an E, but an I is good too. Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He's with us. Right now, that's what we're feeling, the presence of the Lord. He's with us, okay? The fact he was human gave him the right, because he was human, he was a man. It gave him the legal right to regain what was lost. This is how he did it. Because he was the Son of God, he was free from the lordship of the devil. He had acquired over man that Adam gave to him, to the devil. I'll read that again. Because he was the Son of God, Jesus was free from the lordship of the devil he had acquired over man from Adam. Okay? He revealed the will of God in everything he did. He was always talking about who? God. He was always giving glory and honor to God. And that's what we should be doing. Everything we do, everywhere we go, everywhere we should say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's why I had us all just thank him. That's what he wants. He just wants to hear us say that on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord. You're my shepherd. You're my everything. Amen? God revealed in a man. Okay. He revealed the will of God in everything he did and said. Sins were forgiven because in his presence, sin has no dominion. It's not even 11:30 yet, so you guys are doing good. Amen? I saw someone look at their watch. All right. I'm hurrying. I only have 3 more pages. I had 6, so we're doing good. All right. Okay. He revealed the will of God in everything he did and said. Sins were forgiven because in his presence sin had no dominion. Neither does sickness and disease. They have to bow down to Jesus' authority and power because he took over the lordship of what the devil had. Amen? Okay. Luke 5:20-24. I'll prove it to you. Got it? When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Duh. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I, Jesus, say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. You and I today, I'm saying, I, in the name of Jesus, take up your bed and go to your house. You, in the name of Jesus, today can say, rise up, take your crap and go. Oh, whoops. I told you Lord would throw things out there. Ay, gee. Go ahead, take a drink if you have your stuff. Drink. Everyone drink. Ready? I told you. I'm not Pastor Shane, but we get along pretty good. I'll put his over here. All right. Where was I? Yeah. Yeah, the bottom of a cat dish thing. Yeah, okay. Find me. Oh, Luke 5:20-24, huh? Where was I there, though? Oh, I did all the way to the house? Right on. Okay, when you're doing that, though, and praying, don't use that last word, okay? Scrap it out, okay? No. Okay. Jesus walked in the authority that Adam had forfeited and relinquished. And so can you and I. And that's why I'm here today, to encourage you to do that. I'll look at you because you're blurry. Okay? He did. He did. Reading God's word is fun. I put myself in there. I wish you would too. You'd have a fun, it's like you're in there. Okay. Jesus walked in the authority that Adam had forfeited or relinquished. Jesus, through obedience and sacrifice, restored the God-given authority Adam had lost, and therefore our relationship with God was restored as well. On this, right here, and on that, this. But he's still not there. He's gone. People leave him there. You notice that? Yeah, he's not. He's not there. He's somewhere else. Let's find out where he's at. Ooh, I'm excited. Before Jesus returned to his Father, this is what he declared to you and I. Now I'm here in the present, okay? And it's in Matthew. You got that one? Okay. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, oh, did I skip something? I'm sorry. What did I skip? Did you already do that one? Jesus, through obedience and sacrifice, restored the God-given authority Adam had lost, and therefore our relationship with God. Didn't I say that? Okay. Matthew 28, starting with verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Oh, wow, that's weak. Yay. Go team. I said, and Jesus came. They don't have it up there, though. Matthew, do you have Matthew 28, 18 through 20? Okay, it's down below. I put it in there twice. Because it's important. That's why. You have it down below somewhere. Okay, let me see. Okay, I'm just going to read it. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whatever. That's how I read that before I realized that this is a power scripture. Not only is it a power scripture, but it's a golden nugget that God put in the Bible just for you and me. Yeah, you guys should have that highlighted. See, and even the enemy was fighting them to put it up there. He don't want you to hear this, but guess what? I'm going to read it again. You ready? And Jesus came and spoke to them. Who's them? It could be us. It was the disciples then, but it's them is us too. Okay, go ye therefore. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the last time we baptized 9 people for the glory of God last month. That's just 1 month. I mean, if you go back, there's been a lot. So we're doing that one. Good. Go team. All right. The second one. You ready? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Are we doing that? And the third thing, you ready for this? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That means when he comes to get us and, yeah. One of my grandkids said that the earth is flat, and I said, you are crazy. He said, yes, I know. That's another story, but he said, that's why it's there. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, we're just going to drop off the end of the age. It's like kids. Okay, I'm sorry I got off. See, I do rabbit trails. The ladies like it, but maybe you don't. I'll be careful. I'll be better. And then also, it says, and lo, I am with you always. Pastor Shane always throws that in there. Can I steal his joke? Riding a plane. Why would you get on a perfectly crazy plane and jump out of it, parachute? When lo, I am with you always. See, it didn't get the effect that he does it. If he was here right now, I'd say that's wrong. This is the way to do it. So, okay. So it's very clear, regardless of what's going on here, this is not just a suggestion. He declared this. He did. And Jesus came and spoke to them, "All authority has been given unto me. Go therefore." And what's therefore mean? It's therefore. We're to go. Who to go? I can hear Pastor Shane going, "Ye be ye he, ye woo." You go. I go. We go. All of us go, right? The devil, but listen to this. The devil and Adam only had dominion over the earth. But Jesus, because of what Jesus came and did, not only did it include the earth, but he also has the heavens. Did you catch that? That's right. He has everything. That's right. I won't even argue with you. You're right. Jesus had risen above the place of authority the devil had lost. And after revealing his position and revealing his authority, Jesus told us to go therefore. So we should go therefore. And if we're not going therefore we are relinquishing our therefore position. Therefore we are relinquishing our therefore authority. Therefore we are like opening up ourselves and going, "Go ahead, enemy, hit me." Is that right? Why would you want to do that? Oh, wait. Go ahead, hit me. I got my armor on, but I'm not in my position. I don't know where I'm at. I'm just here. I come because I like the music. I just like to hear Kathy play. I love the jokes that Pastor Shane. In fact, I listen intently for the next one. That's what I do. Oh, wait. Okay, I can see you guys are ready to go home. It's only 11:35. Hi, Shane. Can I come home with you guys? Are you even getting anything out of this? Yes. Do you want me to go sit down? Okay. So it is very clear that Jesus regained what Adam lost. And much more, right? We all in agreement? Say aye. Aye. Okay, good. Any opposed? Didn't do my job if you said it. Okay. So he said, go therefore. And why did Jesus make this connection between his authority and telling us to go therefore? Our calling. That's your calling. You say, well, I'm called to be in the ministry. Okay, your calling is to go therefore and preach and teach and That's your calling. That's our calling. Why did you get saved? Fire insurance. Okay, that's fine, but that's not what God said. God says, go therefore. This is your calling. So why did he take his position of authority and combine it to tell us to go therefore? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Should I go on? Okay, let's do it. The answer is found in Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 20, and I love Ephesians chapter 1. If you have not read Ephesians chapter 1, you should. In the women's ministries, when I say go eat popcorn, you know what that means? We're going to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. You know why? Because those four books is the popcorn of Christian living. When you go to the movies, what do you smell? Popcorn! And when you sit down and waiting for the movie to start, what are they showing you? Popcorn! But then they throw in the pop too, which isn't good for you, by the way. I'm just saying, that's sugar. Go for the water. But anyway, popcorn. So go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you want to get more power into the Lord, read them scriptures. Get in the book and study. Read the word every day. I love it. Kids love it too. Well, they say they do. Anyway. Okay, Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. Are you there? There you go. Let's read it together. And what is the exceeding greatness? I don't hear you all talking. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ? You guys have wrought on yours? Okay, that's the other one. Okay, I have the King James. But that's okay. Let's keep going. In Christ, when he raised him from the and set him at in the where? He died on this cross. He's not there. You just said where he's at. That's where he's at. And not only there, but he's in the heavenly where? Do you notice that it's not singular? It's not place. There's not one place. You beat me. I love it. Thank you. Stand up. Stand up. Give her a hand. Yay. No, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Yeah, really. Okay, she just... No, stay standing. Object lesson just popped in my head. Thank you, Lord. That song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Yeah. How many of you sang that? Okay, she just stood up. But when she stood up, she changed her position. Yeah. And so if she's taken four steps out the door and get to her car, she's no longer in that position. She's no longer in this position. She's in that position. Following me? Okay. She has her armor. She has her sword. The Bible is your sword. Chop away at the enemy. Okay? Thank you. That was good. I'm glad that happened. Yes, I like it when that happens. Okay. It's not a singular place. It's just not one place. It's places. That means there's room for you and there's room for me. And keep with me. Do you think that you belong in a heavenly place? You're a king's kid by, I could say, a lot of choice things. God's saying, tell him, I died for you so that you can have all authority when I rose from the dead. That was important, not only dying, but being raised. This is important. This is where our authority comes. Okay? Okay, so Ephesians 2:6. This is the one I like. You ready? And raised us up together. Who's us? You, be ye me. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you jump up, can you do that, Jeannie? I'll talk for a second. Go to verse 5. Because I always, when you start a verse with an and, you want to get the whole context, right? So let's go to verse 5. And verse 7. So just do 5, 6, and 7. Just pick a... Okay. Thank you. So, let's see. Where am I? I get all over. I get excited. Yes, I do. Okay. So, Salmon begot Boaz. That's why I skipped that. It's all those begats. But when you speak the word, the names of people, what you're doing is declaring that name. That's why names are so important in the Bible. We don't do that as a mandate here for your names. But when your name is spoken, whatever your name means, it's going in the heavenlies because words never come back. They're always there. So it's just begotting people. And Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Now, that's not the right one. That's Matthew. I was going to say that. Don't sound right. But, you know, it's a good scripture. Just not the right one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, well, verse 5, 6, and 7. Ephesians chapter 2, 5, 6, and 7. Ephesians. Go eat popcorn. There it is. Even, okay. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. What that's talking is what we've been talking about. What Adam messed up, Jesus came and took. That's what that's talking about. Even we were dead in trespasses because of Adam, right? Our sin nature? Okay. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And not only did he save us when he comes to the altars, but he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in ourselves. In who? Yeah, so we need to be believers in Christ. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen? Okay, let's go on. We spend a lot of time there. These places are where his redeemed children are to dwell. Are you his redeemed child? If you are, where are these dwelling places is and what positions do they hold? What do they hold? Let's find out. The answer is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. What that's saying is that we are in heavenly places above the circumstances in our lives, basically. And not only that, but a redeemed man hidden in Christ is now given a position in the spirit above the enemy. We sang a song a couple Sunday nights. If you don't come Sunday night, you need to. The Spirit of God, you felt it today. The Spirit of God in the evenings. Those of you who come Sunday night, am I bearing witness? Testimonies, healings. It's amazing. People that are online get in their cars and just come into the church. All that's happening Sunday nights. I'm telling you, God is moving. I'm excited. Get on board. These places that we're talking about are far above anything, strongholds, anything. We have the authority through Jesus Christ to tear them down. Nothing can control us. Nothing. You have all authority and your position in the spiritual realm place with Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Amen? So I'm just going to read what I wrote here, okay? A redeemed man hidden in Christ is now given a position in the spirit above the devil. Jesus boldly declared in Luke 10:19, God has given me authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Yeah. Yeah. If you come Sunday night, we sing that. And we also sing the one about, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Who's under our feet? Yeah, and we also sing about, we're going up to the enemy's camp. And the kids, if they were in here, take back what? We have that authority too. So if you lost money, if you lost grandkid, if you've lost anything to the enemy, you got the authority. You just have to walk in it. You can't walk in it because of transgressions, sin, iniquity in our heart, laziness. Oops. It's okay not to come to church anymore. You know, family's important. Yeah, family's very important. Family needs to be strong. Amen. Where's our strength? Is it in ourselves? No. Is it in our children? No. Who's it in? Okay, I'm meddling. But you're right. Yeah. I even bought into that it's okay to stay home, miss church, no more Sunday nights, you know, Wednesday's not real important. I can read the word myself. I can even have church. Yesterday we had a man and he said, I don't come to church. I said, okay, you don't have to come to church to know Jesus. He said, no, I just don't come to church. He says, I have the man. And I said, okay, so who are you having the man with? Are you all by yourself? Because I said, when you're all by yourself, you're an easy target. You are. You're an easy target to get out of your position. And it's real subtle. And he does it by transgression. He does it by becoming, what's the word? Yeah, that's a good word. Thank you. Yeah. So, but this scripture right here tells us that he given us the authority not only to trample on serpents and scorpions. I do not recommend you doing that. I stepped on a scorpion in Utah, an albino one, and it wasn't happy with me. It was mad. But I got it. It's either sting or be good. I said, yeah. It's talking about that we have the authority in the world, that nothing in this world has the authority over us. We are mandated by Jesus Christ, and we have all authority. He delegated the authority to you and me that he delegated to Adam, and Adam forfeited it. And Jesus had to come, unforfeited it. And he now is going to do round two. Ding! And you and I are round two. And if you signed up for the glory wagon, I heard the senior saints, they always talk about the glory days and all that. The train's right outside the door. Are you going to get on? And that's what I'm mandating you today. Not me, the Lord. He put that in my heart. Pastor Shane's been preaching like 4 or 5 Sundays now about protecting your soul and to fight the sin and do the fight. Go ye, go out, do, be. And to help reach the city for the lost and trust the Lord by faith that God's going to move a mountain for our building. Amen? Amen. And we can't do and be effective for the Lord if we don't know what our position is in Christ. Amen? Amen. And right here he says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on. You can put whatever you want in there. Serpents, scorpions, the enemy, anything, and nothing shall harm us. Nothing. And I'll even throw this in. Even if something does harm us, our God can heal us. Our God can protect us. Our God, it's not about me. I am a vessel, and you are a vessel that's being used of God. And some people we don't understand. He uses them for martyrs, missionaries, things like that. Right? Okay, so I'm going to skip that. So just as the devil did with Adam in the garden, this is important, Satan, devil, enemy, now seeks to displace us in the spirit in order to regain the authority that Jesus stripped from him. And you need to be aware of that. And that's the whole thing today. I said all this to say this. Do not let the devil strip you of your authority and your position in Christ if you call yourself a believer in Christ. Okay? Just throwing that out there. Lord, you do with that. Amen? Because if he does, and you lay down or forfeit that position of authority, then he once again will have that authority to operate in your life and in the church. And that's like gossip, unforgiveness, all those things. Anything that God and Jesus washed away for us, all our sins, if we allow them to come back, even the tiniest little iniquity, even the tiniest little thing, then you moved your position. This is a battle. I told you at the very beginning, there's a battle for your life in the heavenlies. And if we're going to make heaven our home, I want to make sure that a lot of people make heaven their home. I don't want to watch them go the other way. But there's one question I must ask you today, and Kathy, you can come, and John, where are you? Come on up. This is a question that pastors ask many times, and it's, is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Yeah, we say it's real easy, amen, but it's easy for him to be our Savior, because as our Savior, he went to the cross for your sins and mine, right? And he took on a terrible, terrible figure of all our sin. It's just so bad that even Father God had to turn his back on him. Okay? Yeah. So it's easy for us to ask the Lord in our heart for a Savior. But Lord, that word, if you look up Lord, it's like master. A master. And in order for him to use you and me, we have to surrender. Not just a little bit of us. All of us. Surrender all of us. All of us. Surrender all of us. And when we do surrender all of us, he comes and Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And if we would listen, he would guide us. He will show you. He will lead you. Just like yesterday, my heart was so heavy for some people that would come in and just buy little trinkets at an estate sale. I mean, but through the little things, we were able to speak life into them, and you could just see their faces just light up. someone took a moment just to speak to me. It's just so easy to do anything for God. Just listen. Listen and just listen, okay? And so in closing, it's so easy to say he's my Savior, but is he really Lord of your life? All of your life. There's a song that Shane and I used to sing back in the early days, and it was, there's a place in my heart that even I won't let the Lord go to. It's a door that I keep shut. And maybe you have a place in your heart today that you haven't let the Lord in, or you're ashamed or worried, or I'm just telling you, just open that door and let it out. You know why? Because the very thing that the enemy is fighting so hard for you not to give it up is the very thing that you're going to use. He's going to give that back to you, that you're going to use that tool of that very thing that you're ashamed of or holding on to help free someone else. Because once when the stuff and the crud comes to the light, it has no more power over you. And you are free. And therefore, you can take whatever those things are in your life that you know are not pleasing to the Lord, and you can walk beside someone, and you can say, you know what? I've been where you are, and you can come with me, and I'll introduce you to my Savior, and we'll walk together, and I'll hold you, and you hold me accountable. And that's what family's all about, right? We have our fights, but don't hold a list. Get rid of them. If you have a thing, get rid of it and just, all right. So I challenge you today to just kind of just do inventory. And the challenge today is to begin working on bringing our bodies, this flesh, human nature, into His will. Putting our wants, putting our desires, even my laziness, my believing that I can't when really I can, making excuses, being tired, too busy. If the enemy can't get you that way, he'll make you so busy that you become dull and then you just kind of fade away. It's easy. It's easy to do that. But I challenge you today to put your very will into His will and ask Him what you can do for Him. And just begin to follow Him. And Pastor's vision, he wants every one of us to take up our cross and follow Christ as he follows Christ. And I challenge you today. This is a hard word, I know. It's for me too. And now that you know this, you can't be ignorant. And so now you're held accountable. And so I challenge you to, it's hard for me to say this, but if you don't follow the way the Lord will take you, then things will begin to come into your life. It's just, that's what He does. Because He loves you so much, He's not going to let you. He leaves the one, the 99, and goes after the one. You know why He does that? Because He's chastising you. He's trying to get you to come back. And in the Jesus days, what they did is when one would run off, they would break their legs and carry them around their neck, the sheep that would be rebellious or run away. But after a while, if they still kept doing that, well, then He would just turn them over and go ahead, be devoured. And one day, every one of us is going to stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And He's going to ask you, what'd you do for the kingdom for me? And I want to see every one of you there with me. And I fight this too, and I work. It's hard. But when we fail, we get back up, we confess, and we go forward. Okay? So don't buy into the lie of the enemy. Don't let him take your authority. Don't let him move you out of your position. Because I need you. I need you. I need you. When you're not here, I need you. And I know how I am. I know how Pastor Shane is. And he needs you too. And you need us. And we need each other. And we're family. So I just ask you that. And so I'm going to read my favorite chapter, Ephesians 1, to you. And then we're going to sing a song. And I have a little prayer that I want us all to pray together to renew our vow, renew our minds, and pray this prayer to bring us back together and start fresh today. So when we leave this place, we're renewed, refreshing. No anything in the past, we're drawing a line, we're stepping over it. Today's a new day. We're gonna do this together. Amen? All right. So, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined to us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all our wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Do a study on that. That will blow your mind. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you ready? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You are stamped, sealed, signed, delivered. That's what that's saying. Therefore, in verse 15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is that hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. 22. And he put all things. The pastor says, what does all mean? All. Everything under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's you and me. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen? So I just want you to, if you want, don't pray this with me. Just repeat it after me. But I challenge you, if you pray this prayer and you speak it, you've declared it. Okay, you decreed and you declared it. So if you don't want to, don't do it, because I would rather you not do it then do it and face, I mean, there's a side of the Lord too that's jealous. And so I'm just throwing that out there, okay? So, dear God, I come before you today with a humble heart. and surrender my life to you. I believe and confess that Jesus Christ was born free of sin. He died on that cross as a payment for my sin. And he rose 3 days later. I believe in your gift of salvation and eternal life because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your Son. Today, I repent of my sin and turn from my old way of life. And because of your mercy and your grace, I can have childlike faith. Today, I ask you for a new life through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you, God, for giving me and making me a brand new person. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You're mandated. You're a child of God. You're a believer. You're in a position. Amen. And if you want to come and talk to me later, I'll talk to you till we're done. Amen. What are we going to sing?
Genie, Holy Spirit.
Could you, if you can, stand and let's just show reverence to the Lord. Amen. Just for this one song. It's just noon, so we're good.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest delights, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
We pray for those lost loved ones, Lord. We pray you bring them back, Lord. We speak to them, grandkids, daughters, sons, husbands, wives, Lord, for healing, Father, for provision, Father. I pray a blessing on each one here, Lord. Let them feel your presence. Let them leave this place, Lord, to do and will for you, God. And we'll give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, so we're mandated. Go out and tell someone about Jesus. Therefore, go, right? Amen? Amen? Amen. There's a witness field out there. Go get it. All right. Come back 6 o'clock tonight. Amen. Don't kill the preacher. Love you guys.